Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the rise of the microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right, today's guest is head of marketing over at Phrase.io, Bill King. And Bill and I are going to be talking about the evolution of Google search engine results pages and what entrepreneurs need to change going into 2021. One of the things which is really cool, we always talk about content, and Bill is an expert on content. His app is an expert on curating content. We're going to get into the app later on. Again, we don't have an affiliate fee for this. We ended up buying this app for our content marketing company. That's how good it is. So anyways, we'll touch base on that a little bit later on in the episode. But for now, we're going to be talking about Google and some of the changes. So before we get to Bill, we are broadcasting to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you're watching our replay, skip ahead. You don't have to listen to this. And if you're watching on my personal Facebook page, head over to the fan page, which has the whole episode as well as highlights and video content. Okay, where's my son?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
He's coming on. There we go.
Oh, you see me? Am I lagging again?
No, you're good right now. There.
Okay, perfect. All right, so if you're watching right now, wherever you're watching from, if it's YouTube or Facebook or where else, LinkedIn, hit that like button. Let's get those likes in early.
And can I do this once? Yeah. Can I just do it? Can I?
Yeah, you can say it.
You can say it.
Smash the like button.
That's smash.
Yes. All right. It looks like we have Dr. Kaz joining us and Raja. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, guys.
It's great to hear from you guys. Let's see. Where am I going to go with this? Facebook, our Facebook group, Amazon, or Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective. We just opened it last week, so feel free to go over and join the page. We go over tips, advice, questions. We want to make it like a community, so yeah, please feel free to head over there. I put the link in the comment section already, so right here. I'll put this in the personal Facebook profile too, but okay. It's right here. And yeah, like and share, everyone.
Hold it. Oh my gosh, coffee. Because it's almost that time to sit back, relax, and enjoy a cup of coffee.
That's right. Okay, great. Awesome. And let us know where you're watching from. We always love to hear. Put in the comment sections. I'll be controlling everything behind the scenes, and I'd love to hear from you guys.
Okay, and mm-hmm. I got to give a plug. I've just started drinking Bulletproof coffee, and I got to tell you, it is everything that they say. It is fantastic. Just a plug.
That's great.
They have
to
nothing
hear.
To do with Bulletproof coffee.
If there's any Bulletproof coffee people out there, we're looking for sponsors. So
yeah, there we go.
All right. And Simon, welcome, Simon. Bonjour to you too.
Hey, Simon.
And yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. So if you do have any questions or have any questions or comments, just throw them in the comment area and we'll get back to you hopefully during the show, as well as after the show. So now it's that time. Sit back, relax, and grab a cup of Bulletproof coffee and enjoy the show. All right, so today, Bill, where are you? There he is.
Hey, Norm. How you doing? How's it going? Cheers. Coffee cheers.
Coffee cheers. Here we go.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to getting to know the audience a bit.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting because we have a mixture of Amazon and online sellers that typically tune into the podcast. And this goes right across the board. And what we're trying to tell, especially when we're working with the Amazon sellers, is how important it is to gain trust and authority on Google, especially if you're a micro brand, so that people will buy. They'll go to Amazon, they'll look at your listing, then they try to figure out who you are. And if you don't have that authority, you don't have the trust, and you lose the sale. So I'm glad that we're going to be touching on this topic today. It's perfect timing, especially in Q4.
Absolutely. Yeah. I my background, I actually started my marketing career as a journalist and was mostly focused on creating new content. And I sort of stumbled into the internet marketing world as a means to get more traffic to my website. And that has resulted in me working at a company that helps people get more success doing exactly that. So excited to talk about a couple examples today.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the company? The company's name is Phrase.io. What's it all about?
Yeah, so Phrase basically takes all the friction out of your process from going from a keyword all the way to having a beautifully well-researched performing article in search. So I can totally relate to this, having coming from a content background. What we do is we extract all the relevant information that you would need to be able to create a great article that performs in search, but also is great for your readers to dive a little bit more into. And then we've also got another side of the business too, which is we have a artificial intelligence chat product that is different from traditional chatbots, where they have rules-based goals, where you're looking at, let's say, like booking a meeting with your sales team or submitting a support case, et cetera. Our bot basically crawls your website content, creates a knowledge graph based on our artificial intelligence technology, and then you can deliver the answers that your website content already has in it. So it's nice and it's very, very easy for folks to get started. And then if you use the content tools and you continue to create content your audience wants, the chat side of the product actually increases in value over time as you answer more questions that people are asking on your website and in search.
Oh, very cool. I had no idea that you guys were doing that side of it as well.
Yeah, so
we'll have to talk a little bit about that after.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, so why don't we just dig right into this? So the let's talk about the evolution of search engine results pages. So give us a little bit of background on that.
Yeah, so for the past few years, Google's been going through just an enormous amount of change. Back in 2018, Ben Gomes over at Google made three very specific predictions about how the future of search will be. He basically said the shift from answers to journeys, so user experience journeys, the shift from queries to queryless ways to get information, and the shift from text to more visual ways to get information. And so essentially what they're trying to solve for is flattening revenue growth with their ads products, right? So Google makes money when you click on their ads. Most all their revenue comes from their ads product on Google Search and their other products. So what essentially they're trying to do is they're trying to, like any good growth team would, they're trying to reduce friction in your user experience from being someone who searches something and even the journey prior to that. They're trying to increase time on Google search engine results pages because that results in more time on site, which results in more ads opportunities for Google. And what they've done is they basically kind of built their own ecosystem. If you think about it, they own Google Search, they own Chrome, they own Gmail, Google Analytics, Android, Google Sheets. They own quite a bit of our journey and our day-to-day. So the amount of data that they have to understand what people are trying to do and why and understand user behavior is absolutely enormous. And really what that's all built to do is to drive that ad revenue. So if you're Google and you're seeing ad revenues decline or they're starting to plateau, you would start to think to yourself, how do I improve or evolve our offering so that we can achieve those specific goals? If you think about what's happened in the past, let's say, decade or so, as of last year, 94% of all searches happen on a Google property. And just think about the enormity of that business is and the amount of stakes that are on the line here for Google is quite a bit. But as of 2019, less than 50% of Google searches resulted in a click. And that is kind of mind-boggling when you think about it, because I started doing web marketing probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And at that point, it was basically just you would search something and there's 10 blue links. And the race was to get to the top of those 10 blue links. Well, if anybody's ever searched anything recently, you can see that things have changed quite a bit, right? And again, that all rolls back to reducing the amount of friction that somebody has on their experience with Google and then getting more of your attention on Google experiences. And really, like if you think about their competition is attention. So Facebook is a great example of where they started as kind of a social media platform, but they've evolved their products tremendously. And so what they're doing is they're eating up more and more of your attention, getting you back on the product, and then expanding their products to get more of your attention. So Google's done the same thing. Some recent sort of changes to how Google kind of goes to market from our user perspective is if anybody here uses the Google search app, you'll notice that there's the regular search bar up top, but then there's also this new thing, it's called Discover, which is basically a mobile only product where you don't actually use a query to get those results underneath. So there's these cards. And for me, I'll log into Google and all of a sudden there'll be some stories on Tesla and there'll be some stories on, you know, some trending events that I'm interested in. And I made no search at all for them to display that information for me. So that's an amazing evolution of how they've been thinking, from forcing you to put in a query so that they can understand what ads to show you versus a querulous search, which is all based on the information that they have about your user experience and the topics you're interested in. And that's basically like a direct competitor to Facebook, which is more of a passive browsing experience, whereas search is more like you have an intended goal in mind when you make a search. You're trying to learn something more or you're trying to research something deeply. It's much higher intent, and that's why the ads product has been so good. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to own more of that journey, build products that kind of own more of that user experience. And so Discover is one piece of that pie, but then web search itself has evolved quite a bit over the past few years. If you go search something in a question or answer format with a why or a how or a what, you'll notice that the search landscape has changed a bit. So you'll see instant answers, you'll see knowledge panels, you'll see what we call featured snippets, where there's basically an extracted answer from a web page that sits in search. And that is contributing to, among other things, that is contributing to this more time on site, less clicks for website owners, and more about quick answers in search. Now, you can still get clicks to your website, and it's mostly when someone has to go deeper on a topic. But for things that they just want to know really quickly, it's in Google's best interest to provide the best experience possible, because again, this is their product, right? So as business owners, things have changed so quickly, and we've been kind of rooted in these old school tactics where we were just creating as much content as possible, trying to do larger scale content production because it was a game of land grabbing. Well, now with less real estate available in that search engine results page, the stakes have never been higher. You really have to be the best result, because if you go and search something, you notice that 50, 60, 75% of that search engine results page is owned by ads, one featured snippet result, a box that's called people also ask, which are secondary questions that people are related to that specific topic. So there's a lot on the line for website owners to own those aspects. So that's the backstory. Have you guys noticed that with yourself, with your some of the people that you work with, or some of the searches you've done? You've noticed that there's a lot more stuff happening in Google searches?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's completely night and day than it was when. Well, how long ago? Can you imagine the evolution? You know, that's happened over the years. But like, go back even a few years ago. What I love about it though is a lot of the content that we used to see. I don't know if it was 2 or 3, 4 years ago. It was 2020 or 2018 or 2017. It would be very close to the date of publishing. Now, relevancy has taken over again, and the higher quality content is being shown. You could see an article. We put out an article in 2016 about some pet products, and that's still coming up. So I think it goes back to what Neil Patel is, you know, talks about, and the best quality content is going to grab the best. Well, what he's talking about is don't put out a blog article unless it's the best. And if it's the best, it's going to rank. And I just got to, like, I'm going to circle back to Phrase, because one of the things that I like about this app is that when you publish an article or when you get ready to publish the article, it'll analyze everything that is required for you to be on page one and to rank the highest or the highest possible. and there'll be a checklist there, and you just go through the checklist, which is really cool. Especially a lot of people come to us and talk about content, and I don't know about you, but content is king out there right now, either press releases or with just regular blog content, any type of content. But if it's quality content, you know, that's really what counts. Like Bill, you remember like back in the day, people were just spinning content like you wouldn't believe. Like you would just get 250 word articles that are spun 100,000 times and put out there, and they were ranking. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. And I think that comes back to when I was mentioning the ecosystem that Google owns today. So they have data points on basically every area of your user experience when you interact with Google. And the best way I've heard it described is Google's hypothesis of how they ranked content. That's really how they became the behemoth they are today. It was all about PageRank. Mm-hmm. That was the only way that they could scale credibility across the internet. That's the best way I've heard it described to me, is links were a way to scale credibility. Every other manipulative tactic could be manipulated. And even today, we're seeing that with links, right? So it's not in Google's best interest to have people able to manipulate the results, because ultimately what that does is it surfaces the not best content. So they are at war with anybody who is doing quote unquote manipulative tactics, right? So it's in their best interest. They know that they need to improve this, to improve the user experience and to retain people. And they need that for the ads product. And ultimately that's what we're trying to build that phrase, is we're trying to give people the tools where you can say, I'm going to take this concept or this idea. Now help me collect everything I should know about this topic and make it easy for me if I'm not a subject matter expert. We work with a lot of folks who have multiple, 10, 15, 20, 100 content writers on their team. Some of them are freelancers. Some of them have never even written about a topic. And when you're a content writer, or you're a person who runs a marketing team, you need high quality content that performs, and you need to be able to scale your content operations. And so the amount of time it would take me as a writer in my earlier in my career to go from a keyword in my keyword research to a really well polished article takes hours and hours and hours. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to give people tools and automation technology so that they can focus on creating, because if I'm placing bets on the future, it's that Google is getting better and better every single day at identifying true intent of what people are trying to solve, or what content is best and how they enjoy that experience. And soon at some point, AI will get better than humans at detecting this stuff. And it will all be about the creators, how you create, your expertise on a specific topic, the breadth of the content, the way that you're able to solve for multiple intents on one specific asset is what people want. And, there's something that just happened a few days ago. Google announced this thing called Passages. So we've all seen featured snippets at the top of the box where you ask a question and it gives you a brief answer. Well, they're going to start extracting paragraphs within in a complete article and putting that into search results instead of sending maybe directly over to your website where they do today, where let's say you write a 2,000 word article and only a paragraph of that is super relevant to what the person is trying to achieve. Today, you have to kind of click, scroll through, takes a lot of time. So the emphasis that Google is basically saying clear as day is take your time, create something amazing that adds value to people on Google, and we will reward you with visibility and with clicks.
Who'd have thunk?
Yep.
Just give quality and you'll be rewarded. I heard this. I don't know if this is just something that's out there, but I've heard the algorithm. If you're using, let's say, somebody from the Philippines, or if you're going over to India and you're getting, like, there's some incredible writers over in the Philippines and over in India. But the masses, you can go over and get a $2, $3, $4 writer, and you get that that language. Like, when you're reading it, it comes out, it's not a North American writer. I've been told that the algorithm can actually pick that out and tell you if it's a quality native speaking writer compared to somebody that's just hired basically for cheap. Have you heard anything like that?
100%. So there are a lot of folks who use our tool and then use tools like a Grammarly or something like that that helps with grammar to help them combat some of those issues. Grammar, sentence structure, these are all things that are really part of trustworthy content. If you're an expert, there's a term in SEO called EAT, expertise, authority, trustworthiness. That's basically like a big part of how Google determines whether or not you should be the ultimate answer for a question. And ultimately, people don't trust content that isn't very specific to the way that they speak, or the way that they articulate a problem. And so what Google is able to do is they have multiple algorithms running. So it's, should I rank this? How high quality is the content? All these things are working together to deliver you the best answer. Now, there are tools that can allow foreign writers to get a little bit more sort of like, it's easier for them to create content that is sounding more English. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's up to you to sort of make the decision on like, do I know my users? Are they going to be put off by content that doesn't necessarily speak their language? Because what I am seeing today in search is that the old way, you would just build links to your page, create an article, and that would be done with it. You'd own that space. But what Google is doing now is they're saying, okay, you look like you should be in consideration for the top result, but if the user experience signals don't match these authority signals, we're actually going to drop you out. So if we have people who go from the search result page to your article and then pogo stick back, pogo sticking is when you press the back button from Google from search to your article and back, that shows that maybe this doesn't match the intent of what that person's looking for. Do they scroll deeply? Do they read all the articles? They spend a lot of time on site. Those things only happen if you have really good content, and they're super hard to manipulate. And what Google's basically saying is clear as day, create a really good result that matches the intent of this person, and we will reward you. And it's no longer just about faking it. It's about, we know the entire journey this person's taking across Google properties, and we're getting locked in on understanding how the experience matches up to the search result.
I just want to give a few shout outs here to Constantine and Yaro, Ricardo, Emma, Wasim. Thanks for joining. Kelsey, do we have any questions?
No questions at the moment, but Emma did make a comment. High quality content is great. We were flooded with so much nonsense. We glaze over.
Yeah. Ricardo said something too. I can't see it. But
oh, yeah. Mostly sponsored ads than blue links these days.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about, and I was going to get to this a bit later, but since we're talking about content right now, blog articles. Okay, so I've heard different things. Linking. I want to talk about, let's talk about the structure. So you've got a great title. You can, as long as the keyword in the title, we've always heard that subhead or a subheading is always good underneath it. When you're starting to write out an article, okay, what's your lowdown on links? Internal and external links within the blog article.
So, I mean, for now and for, you know, for the last decade or so, links have been the primary driving force in SEO along with good content. And again, links were basically their hypothesis when they built Google was we need a way to mimic how you would if you wrote a college paper and you cited all your sources. Theoretically, this should be the way that we cite other people's sources, right? So over time, webmasters realized, hey, if we can get links, then we can make a lot of money. And there's a lot at stake here. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a mismatch between Google's goals and webmasters' goals, that's when you have a real problem because Google is a product company. They are thinking about ad revenue and their user experience and retention of those users. What is the best way to kill that? To have a page that ranks because it's mostly built on links isn't a great solve, it doesn't solve the problem that the person's searching for and causes friction with their user experience. So it's in Google's best interest to get to the right answer and to cut friction out. So if you think about it on their side of things, they are heavily incentivized to solve this problem. Now, it could be that links are always going to be part of the conversation. It might be for the next 5 years. It might be the next 10 years. It might be next year. There's a lot of rumors that Google's machine learning algorithms are getting better at detecting the legitimacy of a really like a legitimate link where you're actually citing something because it has tangible value versus links where you're acquiring them for the strict intent of ranking content that's better than somebody else's. So that puts you at a tremendous disadvantage if that becomes true over the next year or two, because there is a massive economy for the ability to drive links to your target pages, because there's a lot of money on the line for people. Right. So it's so important to start thinking about the user and where Google's mind's at. And they have armies of the smartest people on the planet to figure out these problems. They will figure it out. And the only thing that they need from us right now and in the future, no matter what, is going to be our creativity, our ability to take thoughts and concepts and turn them into a beautiful way to describe a topic and add our value to it. And that's the only way you can be future-proof.
And one of the things that we're doing with links, we mix them up. So, and we tell any of our clients too that, you know, just don't have links in the article for any reason, just to have links, you know. What we'll do with some articles is we'll have zero, absolutely no links at all. There might be a link to an author, or there might be a link, you know, but it's clean. Another one might have a single link that might go to, it's an internal link, just going back to another blog article. Sometimes we might do two, but one's going back to another page that helps reference an authority link.
Yep.
And then the added, and we try not to do the third link, but anyways, we play around with that. And we find that doing that, especially if you're giving that link to the authority page or to another article in your web within your website, that I mean, that's what they're looking for, relevant content.
Yeah, I mean, like these are all ways for you to improve the user experience, right? Like theoretically, Google is rewarding you with internal link passing page rank through internal links because it's supposed to help the user experience. Theoretically, you get on an article from Google, there's a secondary question that you ask or a third type of thing you ask, and there's multiple intents where you could continue that journey, whether it's on your own site or it's external sites where they have a lot of value you can add to your users. That's how it's supposed to be designed, right? And that's actually kind of why we were thinking about building the answer engine as well, is because some people prefer to crawl through internal links and to click around hierarchy of your site, but that takes time and you don't always find what you want. So we added a second net, basically, where you can use the bot to find the next thing you might have a question on. It already knows everything about your website and says, oh, this article is actually a great fit for the next step in your buyer journey. So the two of them work well together. But ultimately, what you're alluding to is that you want to solve for the best user experience, because Google does watch the long tail of your clicks. If you come from search on your site, you bounce around 2 to 3 different internal links. You bounce around to an external site, they're watching the entire thing. And ultimately, this is how they're starting to get locked in on what's relevant to you and what are the types of experiences that really good websites are serving up versus ones that are clearly manipulative and not doing the right thing.
Another way for backlinks, go out there and find some really high quality websites that you can guest post on. So I know for us, we work with, you know, some of the Amazon content or service providers, and we'll provide guest posting and they link back to us. Also, we do a lot of press releases as well. But anyways, what we're finding is if you're getting those links and there are higher authority links and they're linking back as well to the site, that definitely helps. That's just mixing it up again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, they're, you know, the current state of where they are today and where they're headed, there's a clear line, in my opinion, of where things are going. But today, most people are solving for today, right? And there are specific tactics that help and work today. And ultimately, you as a brand, for you to grow, you do need some exposure. And so guest blogging hasn't always been just about building links. It's been about getting distribution, about, you know, connecting brands that are very, very useful for your brand and getting exposure to the types of customers that somebody else has that you would like to have as well. So it isn't all about, you know, just the SEO game. There is a tremendous impact from doing those things. But ultimately, I think the future of kind of like guest blogging is going to turn into brand partnerships and creating relevance with specific types of users versus just for the links, right? So I talk a lot about Google as a CRM because every one of us are just a user in their database, right? So it's important to have presence on external sites where you can offer your expertise and build that brand authority. It's really important to have your own content, your own say on things, a really well thought out piece of content that you can attract and persuade people on. All these things are super important, and I don't think that relationship between brands will lose out because links are less valuable. I actually think it'll increase as you try to create relevance between different audiences.
Right. And is my microphone okay? When I coughed, I hit the volume button, and did it go down, or am I okay now? Does it sound?
I didn't hear your cough. Yeah.
No, I muted the cough, but I hit the bloody volume button. And last week I did that, or on Monday I did that, and I basically turned off my sound. It went so low. But the other thing that we can do, again, I'm just kind of going on the link side, Entrepreneur Wiki. We're business people. You might want to register with Entrepreneur Wiki, or just a wiki, like create a wiki page, because it's such a high authority. People type in your brand or type in you, you know, it'll be LinkedIn, or it'll be Wikipedia, or it'll be whatever. But those are some little things that you can do to really help out. And one other thing, time on page. So a lot of the blog articles that we'll write will actually create a very simple YouTube video and just embed it just so people will, a lot of people don't want to read the thing. So they'll just click the video, stay on page a bit longer, and we'll have it just above the fold. Like, so people can see that there's a video, so they have to scroll down and then they click on it.
Yeah, I think we need to start quickly learning that it's about distribution of your content as well. So you can create a really great, you know, authoritative article that is the best in the business. But as a marketer, you should be thinking to yourself, how do I get the maximum distribution from this? And what are the types of formats that my audience prefers? So you as a webmaster, you might say, all right, let's go create a great article, or let me create a brief for my audience with, you know, a tool like Phrasr or any other tools that you could use. But let's also disseminate some of that information and create a topic line for a podcast. Like, these are the topics we should be talking about. What question should I ask about this? Because people are looking for all these questions. Those are the types of things you can use the tool outside of just creating, long form blog post content. It's just about informing your strategy and like, what is the market trying to understand about this specific topic? But a great example is, you know, video content is going to be enormous in the future. And so the question for that isn't, does our tool help you do that? Well, we don't help you create content, but we help you collect all the information that people are asking about a topic, and that enhances everything else that you do. Video like this, it's the future. That's people. People want to see faces. They relate to people and how they talk and how they just express their thoughts. But this is a great example. Audio, video, combinations of the both. You could even do short form clips and all that stuff. It's all about like, how do you solve for what people want the most? And you can bet that Google's watching. Why do they spend 4 minutes on Norm's blog post and they spend a minute on the number two result? That just strengthens your case to be the best answer for that question.
Right. So the short clips are all about Kelsey. Hey, Kelsey, do we have a couple questions?
Yes, we do have a couple of questions. So I'll start with Tony. He's
oh my God, that's a novel, Tony.
A novel. all right. So hi, guys. How are you? I've been watching these guys on YouTube called Income School. Recently on a piece of content, a blog of 2,000 words, we were able to rank right at the top of the snippet. How can I always optimize that high-ranking organic page to my Shopify site? I already have many links to my product pages. How much should I be paying for relevant blog articles of 2,500 words approximately?
Okay, so we're trying to understand, how can I always optimize that high ranking organic page on my Shopify site? Let's see. So I think the question here is what's the intent for the topic? So I think sometimes if, and again, I'm not sure if this is a Shopify product page or if you're talking about separate content on your blog. But one thing that's really important these days is understanding the intent of that search. So one thing that we built in Phrase is basically this ability to identify SERP intent inside a specific question or a query that you want to research. So a good example would be like, I used to work at a company that built chatbots, right? So if you're asking what is a chatbot, you might be just looking for an informational type of question. And even if you have the best product page in the entire planet, it's not going to match the intent of that user. So Google's going to watch, even if your product page ranks number one, they're going to watch the behavior on the back end of how your content performs. And they're going to recognize this isn't what people want because they're either pressing back or they're not engaging with the page like they do in other articles. And you'll lose that position because you haven't matched the intent. So super, super important that if you're going to go down a path of creating content, that you not only just pick a keyword and write a 2,000 word article, but you understand what people are looking for. So take your keyword, pop it into Google, take a look at the types of articles. If you see a bunch of what is, how to, et cetera, that's a great indicator that people are looking for an explainer type of post, and you should be thinking about that. Now you can do all-inclusive articles. These are what I what we call like Bigfoot pages, where you catch multiple intents within one. Those can sometimes work, but they can sometimes not work. So if you search something like, you know, chatbot software, where you're looking for a purchase intent, that is more likely to have either two specific things. It's either going to be a product page, because Google is watching the intent of people to search that, or it's going to have a list of vendors who you potentially could purchase from. So if you wrote the best 2,500 word article talking about how to buy a chatbot software, you'd actually be completely off the intent for that article. So super important to understand SERP intent, and we built that feature into Phrase as well. But for Shopify store owners, I think the most important thing for e-commerce folks is to have a balance between informational and transactional content. A lot of the e-commerce companies will focus their entire energy on optimizing their, let's say like their purchase page or their product pages because it leads to a direct conversion. But oftentimes you can find quite a bit of opportunity further up the funnel. So take a look at intent. Look at the topics you're trying to own. So if you sold pencils on a Shopify store, there's a long tail of that search. You could be thinking about what are the best pencils, what for what age group, et cetera. All that stuff is about the research process, creating the best answer for each of those. And then you can direct people through your funnel down to your purchase experience.
Yeah, one of the other things that we're doing is that we'll put out a 1500 word article. We minimum article size that we'll use is 1500 words. And then we'll try to, depending on who the client is or who, like what brand we're promoting, it might be once a month. It might be every other week. Sometimes we put out not duplicate content, but a press release linked to a blog, and that could go out. It could be eight times, like four press releases, four content. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we'll do, I don't know if you do this, but we want that algorithm to come back constantly and check us out. So a quarter later, we'll end up with another 500 words, and we'll just add it and add it. And some of these articles end up being quite long and incredible. And the way that we'll set it up is that we try to make it where we get into the answer box. So we'll ask the question, create the table, you know, one, two, three. So when people go there, they're not, and this is so important, you don't ramble on. I've seen content where the first paragraph, I'll click off of it because it just looks like it's rambling, and very short paragraphs, very short, and then engage. And what do I mean by engage is, grab that person's interest. Tell them, you know, the ingredients and why, or the benefits and why, top five things. Even in the article itself, you might have, like you were talking about, multiple topics, but relevant topics. You know, the five reasons why, and as it goes a little bit longer, the next 500 words might hit something else. So at the end of the day, you might end up, and this is crazy, but we took this off of Dr. Axe. And anybody that's listening, if you want to check out incredible content, go to Dr. Axe. they I mean, they really launched with content, and it, you can see what they do. They break everything down. It's an extremely long article, but they rank everywhere. So I'm just saying some of the things, some of the tips and tricks that we use. But Tony, oh yeah, he was asking about cost. That's all over the map. It just depends on who you're using. You could have, I've seen some services, you easily for 1,000 words, it could be anywhere from $99 to a few $100. Also, if you're going to these sites, I won't name them, but there are some very good sites out there that you can get really great writers, but they'll give you like 4 different: beginner, intermediate, best. Mm-hmm. Pick best. Pay the extra. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
one thing,
you don't
want to mess
with the beginner.
One thing I learned, so I before coming to Phrase, I was working in-house as a marketer at a very fast-growing tech company. And one thing that was very clear to me was that taking a keyword and then the process from taking that, turning that keyword into something that's that performs in search and is also something that people want to read is quite difficult. There's a lot that goes into that. So we're as a marketer myself and as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you're heavily incentivized to help them become enabled and to be able to take your idea and turn that into reality. And so that's what we're basically building at Phrase, is we want to be able to take all that heavy lifting off of your plate and say, okay, here's the idea you have, or here's the opportunity in the market. Maybe there's a keyword you're going after or a topic, and let's increase the likelihood that you can create the best article, to dominate that result. Coming from a writing background, oftentimes we forget about the enablement part. We'll hand someone a list of topics and say, just make magic happen. And you end up going back and forth. You spend a lot of time and energy and hours and money on making that thing right, when it really could have been solved by just enabling them up front with a great brief or a great overview of what you're expecting. That goes so far, and that's how you scale, and that's how you become, that's how you grow quickly.
So I know that some people they're new to content marketing and building mm-hmm. out content. So they're looking for an easier way to do it. So they could, we get these emails, you must get these emails from private networks that have, right. You know, they'll give you the copyright. You go in, you can have access to, let's say you're into the beauty market and they have mm-hmm. all these pre-written articles that you can put your logo on or whatever, publish. What do you think about those types of service?
I think it's super important to have your own say in the conversation, to put your own things on it, because ultimately we're kind of tiptoeing into the separation between content and brand. And I think the brands that really win today have their own take on something and are experts in it. Because ultimately we want to relate to people. We want to understand, hey, what's your take on this topic? Not just what everybody else is saying. Like, what do you think, you know, Norm, about this specific topic? And your audience relates to you, and you've created a relationship with your audience. And I want to be very clear. This is not about taking content, spinning it, like creating just good enough. This is like giving you tools so that you can put your own spin on it, but that it also performs as well. So there are going to be a lot of things that come out. Like, we hear a lot of rumors about, you know, GPT-3 and auto text generation, all these things, all these services that look too good to be true. Well, they probably are too good to be true. Right. Ultimately, it's up to you to understand your audience and to deliver what exactly they're looking for. And that is still the most valuable thing you can do online right now.
Just to give you an example, I sell soap in one of my brands, and I was doing research, and I came across this article, and like 5 years ago, I knew nothing about soap. You have to learn about soap because it's your brand. The recipe that I was looking at would have probably blinded somebody, or the product would have exploded.
Right.
And this was on one of those networks that I'm looking at it going, oh my God, who is checking the quality of this? So mm-hmm. anyways, if you do use that, Absolutely. Make sure there's a disclaimer there, but you got to know your product because, yeah, you know, you never know what you're going to be publishing. And Kelsey's up, so there must be a few questions. Yeah. Oh, I saw somebody that we buried. I think it was Dr. Kaz. He had something earlier.
Yeah, so Dr. Kaz is up. So for max ranking, what is your advice to improve ranking? More blogs, more backlinks, any other tips?
So today, you're going to need both. And I think this, about 5 or 10 years ago, the way to win was to create as much content as humanly possible. And what it ultimately turned into was a enormous amount of content being produced, but very little quality. Mm. Today, you cannot win without quality. It's winner take all. And a lot of these search results pages where 70% of the page is ads and one result. I would highly recommend that you put in your best effort and identify the opportunities that are best for your brand. Now, most, especially for newer sites where you're competing against established brands who have great authority on their website, you're going to have to do some backlinking. But I think one thing that that this phrase tool helps you with is it identifies ways that you can have unique value on your page so that when you approach someone for maybe a link or a guest blogging opportunity, that it actually is quite natural because your article is fantastic. And you have to also consider that too. You know, a lot of this stuff takes time. It takes a lot of energy and resources. But if you have a really great article, it's so much easier to go approach someone who's an influential blogger and say, hey, would you be willing to link to this? Because it's useful and valuable. If you're always playing the game of trying to do the minimum, Google is really, really catching up to these types of things, and it understands the footprints of things that are natural and things that are not natural. And they're not there yet, but they're getting better every single day and every single month. But ultimately, unique value is the most important thing you can offer, whether it's to your audience or in search results, et cetera. People are looking for something that really helps them. So in terms of rankings, high quality, well-researched content that covers every possible intent for a specific topic. You have to start there. You can't start with links. You got to have the right content first. Then you look for ways to get distribution. And you can do that by a few things, by increasing the rankings, by building links to your site. You can increase the distribution of that article. So you can add markup on it. So you include in the frequently asked questions or people also ask box. You can get the featured snippet. You can dice that content up and create a YouTube video or a podcast and then create a product kind of out of this topic. Ultimately, I would highly recommend that you focus on quality and then disseminate that quality across the different channels that your audience wants the most.
Yeah, I've got one other thing to add to that. So you just touched on it very briefly before, but another area that you could work with are influencers and brand ambassadors. If you have a product that you can go out and reach out to influencers, get them to, it could be even social pictures like social proof. It could be, there's a lot of things that you could direct them to do. It could be about the benefit. Like we had this one knife that it has a little girl with their mom cutting tomatoes because it's childproof. So people can see that and they understand, and you can put that into a blog. You could talk about that in a blog article. But if you get if you get brand ambassadors, that's gold.
Yep,
brand
absolutely.
Ambassadors will go out and promote your product for the most part for free. That you might give them a bit of a discount. You might not. They'll write content for you and put it on their blog, which links back to your website. These, Paul Barron was on a little while ago, and he's got so many brand ambassadors that for his Amazon listing, he doesn't have to do anything. And this is another thing, Bill, this is so cool. So we're talking about a blog article to your website. So if you take a look at, you know, Paul's product, I'm not going to mention Paul's product, but because he's using brand ambassadors, he'll go out there and he'll get basically best in category for all the keywords. It's incredible. So bestseller badge. Then what happens, he's got these ambassadors that will link and send out just a ton of information to videos. Like he can ask them for videos. He can ask them for contests, like do a contest for me. He told me the other day that he, over the last 2 months, he's got about 2,000 images and videos from these people. What can you do with that?
Yeah, I mean, visual content is a competitive advantage, right? So if you're able to tell a story in a visual way, there are a lot of people who prefer that versus just reading text, right? Oftentimes, the best result is kind of a combination of all of these things. Like you said about the video, some people prefer to listen to content. Some people prefer to watch it. Some people prefer to read it. Some people just want the quick explanation of what this is. Ultimately, it's about creating something amazing and then saying, how do I tell this story in ways that people relate to? Right now, people can see us on this podcast. We're talking about search engine optimization, where, you know, they're getting to know both you and I, and that creates a connection with people. There have been some very, very successful. I mean, look at Pinterest. You want to talk about a successful SEO company? That company is built on SEO. All they did was basically take their content and said, everybody create visual content on this. Let's introduce it to search. And people loved it. They linked it. They shared to it, et cetera. And that wasn't because they were, you know, building link schemes or doing any of that type of stuff. It was a really useful visual piece of content that was amazing for people to engage with. And they were rewarded with traffic. That's my advice to anybody. If you're listening to this right now, focus on being the best creator you possibly can be, because ultimately tricks and hacks and things like that, they might work right now, but ultimately AI and Google is way smarter than unfortunately me and everybody else I know. And, it's coming. So just make sure you focus on the end product and how you're treating people. And if you're even doing guest posts, let's say I did some content on your site. What a better way to make an impression on people and the person who owns that website than to create something fantastic, because that's about relationships. It's an ongoing partnership you can have. Super important.
Yeah, one of the things I just want to talk about too, we go back to Paul. When we take a look, because he's got all those ambassadors pumping out the content, when you go into Google, and I'll get him on again to show us this, but he'll dominate that first page with these keywords. Now, that might not be, it's not directly his website. You'll see it. It's there. Yep. But it might be a press release. It might be influencers, the top or the best 1, 2, 3 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you start to see, I think when he showed me the last time, he had 6 spots from brand ambassadors that were writing about him. He didn't have to do any of the work, but he's ranked. And if he's got 6 spots on page 1, he's got a bit of authority too.
Yep. And you know, if you're stuck in the SEO mindset, you're thinking, oh boy, what a wasted link opportunity. But meanwhile, thousands of people are seeing you. You're becoming the expert on this. People are searching your name. Google's saying, oh, this person's really relevant to this topic. And that has a tremendous amount of value. I can't state that enough. That's super important to be mindful of the whole experience and how people are interacting with your brand today.
Okay, guys.
All right. So we've got 4 questions. I know we're getting to the top or to about 1 o'clock now. So we'll try and go through this quick, but let's start with Simon. Writing content is very time consuming. I'm busy smoking cigars. So what's the best way to outsource content creation? Are text broker and similar any use?
Well, I'm not a cigar person myself, but maybe I should try. It sounds like he's having a good time. I've worked with thousands of different content outsourcing vendors. Ultimately, you can only build so much in-house. I will say that out of all of those, there are hit and miss writers, but ultimately the success of that project comes down to how you enable them to take your vision from a concept to a real thing. And one of the reasons why I was so attracted to Phrase as a customer and now working here is because we were able to take keywords or groups of keywords and then create a custom brief and say, hey, writer, here's what I'm expecting. Here's the document structure. Here's the questions I want you to answer. Here's the quotes and stats and news you should all include in this. It takes me an hour that used to take me 5 or 6 hours. So if I can scale that and I can train other people to do that, and all of a sudden now the writer has a great sort of directional way to take that concept and turn it into something better, you would be blown away by the improvement in the quality and the amount of money you have to spend and time versus going back and forth with people. So if you're able to solve for that, I think that you can really build a huge content engine by enabling them properly.
And I can tell you, I mean, my experience, we've got, depending any time, 15 to 20 writers, and using mm-hmm. that and giving them that creative brief, it's night and day what they can put out.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it from the writer's side, you know, a lot of times they just get handed a project and not a lot of context. And so
right.
you're creating the space for them to not understand what you're envisioning. So it's up to you to help them be successful as well.
Right. They're not mind readers.
That's right.
All right. Three more. So this one is actually an Amazon related question from Raja. This is from our Facebook group. Is there any way we can use Amazon Prime Day traffic to retarget into Google Ads for showing ads to those who came to our listings but didn't buy anything?
You see, talking about on Amazon's on its product listing on Amazon?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I assume that Amazon isn't going to allow you to drop a pixel on their site just because that's their data. But there are ways you can act on those things. A great tool I use sometimes is something called Exploding Topics, where you can see in Google Trends, where you can actually see like what's trending around Black Friday, and you can create some interesting content around that to get your own distribution. I think I had some takeaways here. We got through a lot of stuff, but I think one thing that's really important, if you're selling on Amazon, you need to do everything you possibly can to own your distribution. I can't say this enough. One, you know, the past companies I've been at, we've built communities, we've built training centers, we've built, you know, channels specifically for our customers because we want to own the relationship with them. Ultimately, I mean, we've seen this in the past where like Facebook, people have built Facebook apps and back in the day, in one change, your entire company can go poof if you rely on a specific place. What if Amazon decides to remove affiliate commission someday? That could put out a lot of people out of business. So I think you really need to start thinking about building brand and building your own distribution channel so that you can control more of that stuff. That's super important.
Yeah, and we've talked about this on other podcasts, but when you're if you have the ability, have a website, have your product over there that you sell on Amazon, have something a little bit different than you can offer. Example I used last time was shampoo and a small bottle of conditioner. Mm-hmm. And then when they go and buy that, now you've got their name and address, give them a coupon code, get them to send over to Amazon. If you see the coupon code being used, which you can pull that information up. Now you know who's bought your product, who's bought your product twice on Amazon and off Amazon, and you can start building your list.
Yep, that's super important because you want to think, number one, how do I maximize the LTV of each dollar that I invest at the top of the funnel, and how do I continue to get repeat sales from those people? A friend of mine works at a couple of friends of mine work at a startup in Boston called Privy, where they work with e-commerce store owners and they allow them to do cross promotions inside their website, their app, et cetera. So there's tools out there, but I think ultimately you can't take advantage of those unless you have a audience and you have your own distribution, right? So focus really hard on how can I own more of that process, just like Google's doing to us. They want to own more of that real estate and more time on site. So you need to start thinking about that from your own perspective as well.
Last couple of questions. Let's just shotgun these. On Fiverr, is it recommended to pay extra money to get a writer that fluently speaks the language so the reader doesn't get turned off and the algorithm doesn't push the
right down? I would highly recommend localization. The reality is that it's you can find really good writers who write multiple languages, but ultimately those are hard to find. And oftentimes brands will be willing to hire them and bring them in internally. If you can find someone who does multiple languages, that's a gem. You should hold on to that person, treat them well. But if your primary audience is, let's say, English, and you have someone whose native first language is in that, I would say test it. But ultimately, think about the person who's reading it and make sure that this is solving for what they're expecting. And if it comes down to you and a competitor who have equal, you know, content and equal domains, it might be down to just how well the content reads out to them and how they relate to it.
Okay. And if you do outsource, how do you know if it's 100% clean and not plagiarized?
There's actually, if you search plagiarism checkers, you can actually take a block of text that you've bought from a freelancer, and it will basically crawl the content and look for how unique it is for your website. Highly recommend doing that. It's so important because oftentimes you will find spun content or stuff that's not unique, and you want to make sure you get. If you're working with freelancers, you want to find three or four that are really good. You might test out many, and you might have some bumps in the road, but treat those people really good who do a good job.
Okay, and a last one. I listed my product on Google Shopping, but only my Amazon listings appear. If I search for my products and click on Google Shopping tab, any advice how to rank my products there?
But only my Amazon search. If I search for products and click on Google Shopping tab, it depends on how long it's been on Google Shopping, the quality of the information on there. I know Google Shopping is pretty new. I'm not really an expert in Google Shopping, but I would say that follow best practices. Make sure that you have the best possible information. Make sure that the information is fresh. You have everything up to date, just like you would any sort of solid e-commerce SEO strategy. The algorithms are totally different, two different ecosystems. But I think if you follow traditional sort of best practices, you should see success. But it also depends on the competitiveness of your niche, right? Like Google isn't giving rankings to everybody. Ultimately, they're going to go with brands who maybe have a you could work on visual creative. Maybe the listing of your product doesn't get a high click-through rate, so maybe they're factoring those types of things in. There's a lot of different things. I would ultimately just say go into it with a testing mindset. Your hypothesis right now is you need to get more distribution on Google, and so what are the types of things that impact that? It could be visual creative. It could be the breadth of the content. It could be the number of products on your store. There's a lot of different things that could influence that, but there's a lot of great content on that.
Yeah, and that'll be a good podcast. But we're getting down. I know you've got to take off. Hey,
I
do you want to
do.
just quickly go through the Phrase .io app? Just tell everybody a little bit about it, like the three main points, or I
Yeah,
know you
absolutely.
just got a bit of time, so sorry, Bill.
No, no worries. Yeah, this is great. So Phrase ultimately helps people take an idea and turn it into a beautiful piece of content that performs in search. And also, we have another product that helps you create an index of all your content on your website. And we have a chatbot that can actually answer questions on your site with your website content. You're welcome, Marina. So ultimately, we're here to help you create the best possible result for a specific topic and giving you those tools. I highly recommend taking a look at it if you are doing content for your website, if you work with external writers, and if when people are on your website, they're having a tough time finding information because shelf life for content is very short. So if you publish a blog post, by the time it gets to page two, the only distribution it normally gets is from Google, right? So we're giving you tools to do both, get distribution from Google and get distribution on your content and a longer shelf life on site. So this is super helpful for content-first brands who are really thinking about how they help their customers with content. So that's the way I would describe it. And I would say, if you have any other questions, feel free to sign up. There's a free account. You can sign up. You can create up to 5 documents per month on there. And if you'd like a walkthrough of the platform, feel free to reach out to me. My email is bill@phrase.io.
Great. And just two quick things that I like about the platform. One is they have an area where anybody who's familiar with Answer the Public, where you ask a question or you enter in a keyword, you'll see this sort of mind mapped out, different questions that are asked. Well, this does the exact same thing, but one thing different, the top article will show up. And so you can take that article, take a look at it, and then just sort of branch out from there. And the other part is when you publish or are ready, if you got it in draft, your blog article, there's another area to the app which goes through it and says, okay, here are all the points you need to do to make this a better blog article.
That's
So
right.
again, I know from my end it was I bought it off of AppSumo, but that's no longer there. But just check it out to start and get great content. It's so important. You've got to be that authority and trust. And on that note, Bill, thanks a lot for coming, and hopefully we can have you back.
Thanks for having me. Nice meeting everybody.
All right. See you later, Bill. Okay, everybody. So that's the end of the podcast. If you do have questions, throw them into the comments section and we'll see if Bill be able to get back to us with the answers. And hopefully we'll even get Bill to get us some content for our website. But anyways, that might be a little bit much to ask. But thank you for joining us today. And Kelsey, can you come back on? Tell us what we got to do.
Yeah. And just want to say to Bill, if you have to go, I know we're going to talk afterwards, but feel free to leave. I'll email you afterwards. But yeah, thanks everyone for the questions. There's tons of good stuff that we went through today. If you haven't already, you can go to our Facebook group. I'll try and find the link here. Right here. It's also called the Lunch with Norm Amazon FBA and E-commerce Collective. So go ahead, you can join. There's a bunch of different sellers at different levels, and we're all helping to help each other out. And if you're looking for the episode for today, you can find it at either lunchwithnorm.com, our YouTube channel, Norman Farrar. All the episodes go straight up there. And just stick around on our Facebook page, too. And I'm trying to think, is there anything else?
Well, of course, there's a newsletter that doesn't
suck. Oh, yes. The newsletter that doesn't suck. Yes. I'm going to grab that and put that in.
So anybody interested in this is content about becoming a better seller, online seller. So it's not just about Amazon. It's about being a better digital marketer, being a better online seller, being able to build your brand content. It's all there. So check it out. It comes out every Monday with new content. Now, I guess the other thing is on Friday, we've got a great episode. And Megla, I'm going to get your name wrong, Megla. Bardwaj. There we go. Luckily, you're not on right now, but hopefully you're not looking because I messed your name up. But anyways, Megla is awesome. If you've ever got to watch her her podcast, or if you've ever attended her virtual summits or gone to one of her events, you'll see how amazing she is. She is the host of the Amazon Seller and is involved with sourcing in India. She's going to be coming on and talking about sourcing in India and other opportunities on Amazon, i.e. Singapore. So check it out on Friday. If you don't know Megala, check her out. Check out her podcast. She is incredible, and you'll want to stay tuned to get more information from her. And I think that's probably it, unless you're going to interrupt me.
No, we're good. Good. Thanks to everyone for watching. We appreciate it. We love seeing you guys comment here. Yeah, please join our group. We're both on there. And yeah, that's it.
Good. We could even see, we could start begging and tilt down the camera and put you on your knees and go, please join our group.
I mean, that's one option we could do. Not yet.
Okay. Just, throwing it out there.
Yeah.
It'd be entertaining.
It would be.
But, yeah, all right. So please. I'll try it one more time. Please join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Central Time. My glasses are fogging up because I'm laughing a little bit here. But thank you for watching and enjoy the rest of your day. Lunch with the lunch.